New podcast episode with the calisthenics legend Frank Medrano, and I'm super happy to announce the collaboration between him and Gornation.
I'll go to sleep thinking of what I'm going to do. I feel like I could do so much. Nothing's going to stop me.
Now enjoy the interview. Welcome everyone to the Calisthenics Insider Podcast by Gornation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is an absolute calisthenics legend. I feel like he doesn't even need introduction, but I'm really looking forward. For me, it's a really nostalgic and personally interesting episode. I'm welcoming Frank Medrano. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate being here, and I appreciate being part of the group. It's an honor, truly.
For me, it's also a big, big honor. Our story started more than 11 years ago. I just shared on my personal Instagram some nostalgic photos for me. We met for the first time physically at the FIBO 2014, where I was, as a visitor, I was the calisthenics fanboy who recently started the sport, who unlocked his first muscle up and who was like super hyped to unlock more and to meet his idols. And meeting you for me was an absolute highlight. I was still, like, I had just finished school back then. And for me, I started calisthenics because of your videos. I still remember the videos in the garage entry with the long bar, doing your bar dances, doing the muscle ups and stuff, that I thought, wow, how is this even possible? So yeah, for me, a really special episode. As I told you, even after 70 plus episodes recorded, this is a really great one. So yeah, thanks for being here and thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's truly, like I said, an honor. It's very exciting to be able to be part of a team like this and see all the good things that you do for the calisthenics community. So it's very exciting, and I'm very excited to just to be part of it.
That's cool. So I checked again, like, you became really popular in 2013, 2014, if I see it right, at least on Google Trends. You see an insane spike in the people in the searches of people. How do you see back then? Like, maybe would you take us, I don't know, when you started, 15 years back, 20, like, I guess even 20 years back, how did you start? What was your first touch point with calisthenics?
Well, I believe it started back like in 2009, as far as like me getting into calisthenics. And I just got into it with me just randomly going on YouTube and trying to find ab workouts. I wanted to get it. At that time, I didn't really have abs yet. So I was trying to look for how to get abs. And, you know, when you search for videos and you find out videos, but sometimes you see other recommended ones. And that's how I ran into videos from Hannibal. You know, Hannibal and Barbarians, Calisthenic Kings, you know, Beast Mode. I saw those videos and I was just, my jaw just dropped, you know. And I saw them doing some really crazy strong body weight movements, you know, typewriter pull-ups and like even muscle-ups for that matter. Like, I really wasn't familiar with them, but they made it look so clean. And not only that, but their physiques were very impressive. So because of that, I guess mainly because of that, because I saw their physiques very impressive and they were actually pushing it as a workout. That's when I was really introduced to make a change to the way I train, you know, because I saw, oh, this is how they work out. This isn't just them showing off or a circus or anything. These were people that actually went to the park and worked out, and this is how they trained. So something inside my head just clicked, and I just felt like, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. It's just, I want to be able to like, do some of these things that they do and just record it and just put it out there on YouTube also. And I wasn't expecting anything big. I just wanted to put it out there. That way they could see it. So they could see it and I could be like, hey, look at me. You know, I did what you did. I did this move and I was inspired by you. And, I wanted to just like do that, right? And then obviously, you know, when you get into calisthenics, it's just a whole different world. You start getting stronger and you start, you know, seeing what you could do and like, wow, like what else can I do? Like, I'm it gives you confidence more than anything, right? When you do calisthenics, you start to really control your body, and There's something about you having control of your body. It gives you a confidence that not just fitness, but it makes you start thinking about other things. It's like, wow, like I could do anything I want, really, right? I could do anything I want if I put my mind to it, you know? Because when you put your mind into calisthenics, you're able to master your body. It just unlocks your mind to start up businesses, to get promotions and put more work ethic and move up in your company or in the job that you're at, put more effort in your school and even in your relationship. You try to be a better person. So that's what it did for me in the beginning. So because of that, it just changed my life. Calisthenics really, truly changed my life. I was in a really low time in my life as far as not just physically, but emotionally and where I was going. It was kind of going downwards. I was kind of getting older. I was in my mid to late 20s already when I started. So my life was really going in the wrong direction. So I started calisthenics and then getting really good. And I was getting really good making videos and getting some attention. And at that point, I was trying to get even more attention. I wanted to get really popular and like, okay, I want to be able to just to be like my idols. I want to do what they do now too, because I feel like I was pretty much almost there. And that's how I started. I created another group over here because there wasn't really many people doing calisthenics over here in the West Coast. So I created this group called the Barholics. I don't know if you remember back then, but there was this group of people that I would run into gyms and I started doing stuff in the gyms and they saw me and they wanted to learn. So I took them under my wing and I started teaching them and like they started getting really good, learning a lot of stuff. So we created our own group. And then from there, we just wanted to like create something from it, right? We wanted to create a group, an organization, a team that could go out and train people, create videos, create programs, teach boot camps. And we did a few here and there, but it never really took off. Never really took off. And at that time, it kept me really busy. Like in the beginning of my calisthenics journey, I was training for a long time. So I would train for hours. I would train for hours in calisthenics. I would go to work, get out of work, and then I would go to the gym for hours trying to learn and get stronger in calisthenics. And I would even go to sleep. I would go to sleep thinking of what I'm going to do, thinking of what I could get better. It was just in my blood to want to get really good. I had a vision in my mind like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do this. I feel like I'm ready for this. I'm going to do this. And it was a lot of that from like 2009, 2012. For very de you know, a lot of dedication, right? But nothing was really happening as far as anything big. And over here, it's very busy over here in California, Los Angeles area. So I saw that I wasn't wasting my time, but I was just dedicating too much of my time where the point where it started affecting my livelihood to make money, right? So because I wasn't like getting anything back from it, I started to process for the sheriffs, the police department over here. This is something I always wanted to do and I never did it, but I decided like, okay, like I'm getting older, so I need to like get my career started with that. So at the same time I met my wife now, which was my girlfriend Antoinette, and I had told her too, she got interested in me and talking to me is because of the calisthenics, right? She wanted to learn too. But when I met her, I was already kind of like on my way out. I was like, I told her like I kind of quit. I even made a video that I'm like not doing it anymore. And she was kind of like a little bit sad about it. So she kept pushing me about it. I still did calisthenics, but I stopped making videos. But we still did calisthenics. I taught her and we train together. But I don't know, something in me in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know what, I'm gonna record some of these videos that we were doing. We're training, we're doing calisthenics in different spots. She's a Marine military over here in the United States, and we would go to bases and I would train over there. And like even over there in their bases, everyone was just like, wow, look at this guy. What is he? How can he do that, right? So I was impressing all these people in her base and recording a bunch of these videos. And then one day she showed me this song by Rob Bailey and Hustle Standard. It's called Hungry. And I heard it for the first time and I was like, wow, this song is just, it's just crazy. It's just a very good workout song. And in my mind, I just thought like the clips that we recorded, like for the past few months, it'll go really well with this song. And I told her that is like, you know what? Let's just put these videos together with this song and maybe record a few more just to connect it all. And like, I guarantee you like people are going to like this and the video's going to go viral. Like something about it. I've never seen anyone do a couple video, mixing calisthenics and weight, bringing two worlds together. I never seen that before. And what we do is very special and it's never been seen in the mainstream. Let's just try it out and see. And then we made the video and like almost instantly, it just took off. It just took off. And like, we got all this attention, kind of the attention that I was kind of seeking when I got really good. I was like, oh, okay. Like I want to create something else with calisthenics because like, it's such a special thing, but I didn't have an audience. I was growing, but I wasn't getting a mainstream audience where like it really spread. And that was my goal. And, you know, with Antoinette, with my wife now, it's just creating that video. It opened that door. It opened that door to the world, you know, everywhere and mainstream to, you know, put, you know, everyone looking at calisthenics, specifically me and my wife. So it was something special, you know, to do, to create, you know, a YouTube video that's calisthenics and weights combined. It was very special to get that attention from everyone because no one really in the mainstream has seen it and to that level. So when I got everyone looking, that's when I just, in my mind, like a light bulb went off. It was like, you know what? I'm gonna hire a videographer and I'm gonna get my best moves at the time. And I'm gonna record them like very cinematically. And people are just gonna be blown away because they haven't seen the stuff that calisthenics is capable of. So I'm gonna give it in the best like cinematic movie style. And at that time, there wasn't that either. So I knew for sure that it was gonna go viral even before I uploaded it, because I had a specific song in mind too that was kind of catchy and cool at the time, the Superhuman. You know, I recorded those clips, I put it up, and then that Superhuman video, that's the one that just kind of blew everything away. And that, you know, was all over the news and TV shows. And, you know, I couldn't go out without anyone, you know, stopping me and anywhere. I mean, even to this day, there's days or weeks where like I'm out and nothing's fine. But there's days where like people just like stop me all the time randomly. So even it's that powerful, even till this day, like people still see me and they still talk to me about it. And they tell me, oh, aren't you Frank? Aren't you the guy with the, you know, the typewriters and stuff? And just randomly people that are probably not even into fitness, like even till this day, like they still stop me. And just to go back to the viral videos, that gave me the opportunity to really do something with calisthenics. So that's when I was able to scale and create my programs. So I started off with my PDF programs, my eBooks, you know, from beginners all the way to advanced. People who wanted to learn calisthenics, I was able to leave my job, which I was working at a regular store over here. It's called Costco Wholesale. I don't know if you have one over there, but that's where I used to work. And I was able to leave that and just dedicate myself fully in calisthenics. So, you know, having a lot of fun over the years since 2009 up until now. I had my roadblocks, you know, here and there, you know, with social media, a lot of things change. But, you know, thankfully, you know, God willing, he's been able to like really keep me in the right path to stay, you know, positive and strong to overcome anything that comes and just keep doing it no matter what. And, you know, do it in a way that's, you know, positive and helping people. And, you know, it's over the years, it's been great to see people come and learn and become really good at it. I've seen, like I said, there's a lot of people that have come and gone in calisthenics over the years that you look back and you don't see some groups anymore. You don't see some people, but you also see a lot of new faces. And that's really nice to see, you know, over the years. you know, a lot of new faces. The way the sport has grown, you know, especially over there in Europe, even over here in the United States, you know, it's a movement that definitely, you know, kept going. It might have stopped for some, but you know, it's grown for so many more, and it's really great to see that. That's why, you know, to see Gore Nation be something so being a very important piece to that, you know, especially what you guys do, you know, with the competitions and FIBO, that all the things that you guys have come and inspire others and other athletes. You know, it creates this like effect that, you know, reaches out and people in so many ways, not just physically, but it helps them, you know, spiritually, mentally. I know I've reached out to so many people, and I've people have come and messaged me and thanked me for not just physically, but also helping them. Like, I saved their marriage. I helped them with their business, and it was all just because, you know, I motivated them. I created a mindset in them, you know, to work really hard and to push themselves through calisthenics, that was able to give them that mindset. And it's truly something special. You know, you guys as well, you know, you guys help so many people with that as well. So it's truly a blessing to be part of this movement in calisthenics. You know, over the years, it's been over like a decade and a half. And I seen you and even that photo that you shared a little while ago, and I, you know, it just gave me memories, and I see how you were, and I, you know, I remember you. And then seeing your videos now, I was like, man, like, you know, from someone like you, that was started out as a fan, to where you are now too. It's very impressive and inspiring to see. So it's been really great.
Sure. Yeah, thank you for sharing. I like so many interesting things you just said. For me, it's super interesting. You always need this one person, this one small push that sparks the fire. You know, for you, it has been Hannibal or all the guys back in the days who were even a few years ahead starting with calisthenics. For me, it has been you and yeah, like also someone like Adam Raw or Stipke or like, yeah, the people who were pushing out content, because you never know who you inspire out there. You never know who you're touching. And even if you're see like even if you see, I guess when you started, you also didn't have start out with thousands of views, and you had like small views, I guess, in the numbers in the beginning. And when you started, like thought about quitting, it's like often, I don't know if you know this this picture where someone is giving water to the plant every day, and he's close to quitting because the neighbor already has a plant which came out and grew a lot, but his is like really short to breaking out. And you have this picture of bamboo, I think, when it needs years to grow to a small plant, but from then every day it grows 20 centimeters or something. So yeah, it's really inspiring also that you have also been inspired by someone and were close to giving up, but yeah, pushed through, and also yeah, in other areas of life.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You never know who might be seeing you. And that's why over the years too, I think about that too, is like when I think of giving up, when things get hard, that's why I remember those things, like, you know, the fact that you never know who you're inspiring, and it could be anyone around you, even people that are close to you. You know, people are watching, even though people might not say anything, but there's a lot of people watching. And even if it's just one person that's near you in your life, you know, that one person, you know, it's you know, you're inspiring so many people, and you're also helping yourself. So, you know what they say is like, without no struggle, there's no growth. So, you know, it's just something. That's part of why, you know, calisthenics athletes are so strong. It's just, you know, we just struggle so much. It's so hard. And but no matter what, you have this passion that's been lit up, that's burning, that won't let you stop.
That's true. How was it for you when all the work paid off and you saw like the first two videos that you talked about had a breakthrough?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's just when I saw that, when I saw a little bit of success and I saw things coming my way, something inside me just made me think, like, I can't stop now. I gotta keep pushing my foot on the gas, right? It's just because I felt like, okay, I'm not gonna just give this up and just get comfortable. I gotta work harder. I gotta work harder. I gotta push harder because, God gave me an opportunity. I feel like God gave me an opportunity, and that He's, I put in work and I'm being rewarded. So I can't just like get comfortable and just be bragging about what I do now and just look at me. I'm doing this. I know, like, I wanted to do more. So when I saw those videos starting to, when it did well, it's just like, I was like, okay, I gotta keep going. I gotta train more. I gotta put out more content. I gotta learn something new. I gotta just do more. So I just, the moment I saw some success, I didn't get comfortable. I just felt like, okay, what can I do next? That was my mentality.
That's really important, because this is what I think a lot of times happens. When you see people winning in lottery, or like for the first time their business goes well, or whatever, they get a promotion and they or directly spend everything, or they get lazy and comfortable and they say, oh, now it's time to rest. And it's interesting, because I also have this attitude: when something goes well, this is the sign from above that you need to push more. You know, you need to now squeeze the opportunity. You need to go on the gas pedal even more, as you said it. So this is the moment to build something sustainable, as you did with the programs, with the whole brand Frank Medrano, right?
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. Life is all about taking a risk and learning from the things that didn't work. And the only way to do that is to keep pushing, win or lose. You're gonna take risks to keep growing, or you're gonna learn. So that's so true in the beginning, and that's so true even after you succeed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. And you achieved something that a lot of athletes out there and content creators are dreaming of, that you can do it full time, but it's not now I can do it full time, and now it's time to rest. I record a few videos, 2 hours per week, and that's it. But it's I think this is the moment where you realize, doing this, it means even more work, but it's something that I decide to work for, but it's even more work than you would usually do.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things where, it's a difference maker, it's cause it's really hard. I can't lie how hard it is. It's really, really, really hard, but it's something where, like, when you're really passionate about something, you're going to do whatever it takes. And when you see some success, it's like, it's just going to, there's going to be things that happen. It's going to get harder sometimes. And you just got to be able to deal with it. You just have to be able to deal with it. Just like when you have a business, is like, things just get hard and things just don't happen. Sometimes all the things that could go wrong. And you just have to take it. You have to take it, not give up, keep pushing, and just keep fighting.
True. Yeah. And for me, like our business, we only have people who do sports. Yeah, like all our employees have a connection, strong connection to sport. Of course, not everyone is doing calisthenics on a high level. We also have a professional basketball player, a powerlifter, someone who goes like bouldering, but like all these things. But everyone has these mindset value, like these values that athletes have, and it's really like no pain, no gain. Sometimes you have to go through hard times to grow, like all these things. I think they are more common for athletes than for usual people, and if you transfer it well to your normal life, to your to other areas of life, to your job, to your business, it really fuels you and helps you to push and to not become comfortable, become lazy, like eat junk food, whatever, like all the temptations are out there, but I think it's really important to do this, and it's also a big part of our life, daily life here at Coronation.
That's great. That's a good business model for sure. Like, having people that have the mentality is ideal.
Yeah, because the mentality is almost everything. Yeah, like mm-hmm. You can have a great physique when you're born, you can have a bad physique. What you do with it all depends on your mentality. It always depends. You get certain things, but it's always what do you do with these, and this always depends on the mentality.
Exactly. So true.
Nice. Yeah, like interesting intro and where it went. Let's go back to the beginning of the sport. As you said, like we talked about Hannibal, also someone who was very present back in the days, doing his flutter kicks, L-sit, human flags on trees. Yeah, like really OG, old school calisthenics stuff. How do you see the whole calisthenics scene? If there was one, but the whole sport, the movement back in the days, how did you see it versus today?
Back then, I really, from what I remember, it wasn't really as big as it is now. Obviously, from back then, I saw it as a smaller scale back in the East Coast and New York, you know, when they had their competitions over there in New York. And they also had some of the competitions like in, I think maybe Ukraine or Russia, like they were starting to have some over there. And those guys were pretty crazy back then. But you know, also, you know, the guys from New York and it felt more like grassroots back then. It felt like it was always the same people, you know, it's always the same people every few, those couple years. So it'd be like, okay, next year this guy's gonna win. You know, but compared to it, the way it is now, it's just like you see so many people. It's just some people that are like behind the scenes training really hard, and all of a sudden they pop up, and there's just so many different options of people. Someone, you know, is really good this year, and then someone next year, you're gonna have 10 more people that are be just as good, and it's gonna be a good battle, good competition. There's just so many different types of people, you know, even across the world, you know, people from different countries. You know, even girls, like back then in the sport, there really wasn't any that I can remember. I mean, honestly, like I can't remember any girl competition. If there was probably like just like two or three girls or five at the most. And now there's just so many girls doing it too. In calisthenics, where like, you know, you could create competitions for themselves as well. And not just that, but like back then, like, a girl doing a muscle up, if she wasn't in gymnastics, it's just like, it's unheard of. She wouldn't be able to do it, let alone other stuff like typewriters or like anything else. Like they just couldn't do it. And now you see some girls that do it better than a lot of guys, you know? So it's like really inspiring when I see also the women doing it. It's like, wow, like, you know, it's come a long way where like, you know, it breaks barriers. So that really speaks to like really mastering your body, whether you're a man or a woman. If you master your body, you can really master your body in calisthenics, and it goes to both genders. So I've seen it grown over the years compared to it was back then. It was just a small grassroots the way it is now. You see people in so many different countries, not just a little bit, but a bunch of people in each country, and to have them all gathered like in a big meet like what you guys have. It's really impressive, and it's really to see the variety of different people and skill, you know, the skill level, because sometimes you would see people that are really good at certain skills and not so good in others, but now you see more rounded people that you see people that are good in a lot of skills as opposed to how it was back then. There were some people that are really good at one thing but not the others, but now you see more people that are more rounded and doing everything. So that's a big difference that I see from the way it is now to it was back then.
Yeah, like I don't know if you saw the female battles at the Calisthenics Cup at FIBO this year, but we had the big request last year for female competition as well. And this year we did it, and the level was just insane. Like you cannot imagine, like doing the five muscle ups, five bar dips, like five pull ups, like the sets that are really, really high level, elite level. And you saw them flying through the muscle ups, insane. Yeah. Like girls from every different physique, from really light to really like muscular, and like super, super inspiring and always impressive for me to see. As you said, like every year there are new faces popping up and just growing the sport.
Yeah, it's really great to see.
How is it in the US if you go to a random person now, to 10 random people, and you would ask them, do you know calisthenics? How many of them would know calisthenics? How well do regular people know it? Not even in the gym, but on the streets.
If it's on the street, depending on the location, I guess, because like the type of people, but if I would say like average people, I would say at least half people would know what it is, at least half people, because of social media growth, you know, social media growth compared to the way it is now, people see a lot of things. And for the most part, at least half people have come across it and have seen it and at least know what it is. As opposed to back then it wasn't like that. I mean, I would ask people and like most of them won't even know anything. Won't even know what that word is. Mm-hmm. You might find one or two, but now I feel like, you know, at least half people will know, you know, what that is, calisthenics. I mean, obviously you go to the gym, everyone knows what calisthenics is. Yeah.
Yeah. Would be interesting. I want to check if at some point your name has been more popular than the name of calisthenics, because when you became really popular in 2013, 14, I think the sport, yeah, like still, but you were really close to being as popular as calisthenics with, if you check Google Trends, how many people were searching for the term. So you were really close. But yeah, if you see the line of how calisthenics progresses on worldwide searches, it's really good. Because mm-hmm. back in the days, in 2013, it has been at 25 something. With your help, it went up to 34, 30 something. Mm-hmm. So there you see, you did a great impact, and now it's at around 90, just for the reference. So it almost tripled in search volume and popularity. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Nice. Yeah. What do you think were the biggest turning points of calisthenics becoming big? Because of course your videos did a great, great job. Like I think they had tens of millions of views, or even how many, like, was the most popular one?
To be honest, I haven't checked. Most popular one, maybe close to 50, I think. Wow. 40 something, 50 million. Yeah. The most. And then the other ones, you know, millions as well. Not sure. Maybe 20, 30, 40 for the higher ones. But the turning point, I feel, in calisthenics is, to be honest with you, you know, me and you really strongly support calisthenics, right? And we got into it because of a passion that we saw and the potential and how it's going to help us and how we can help others. And I feel like there's a lot of people like me and you, maybe in different levels. And because of that and social media, you know, I think the social media growth, you know, with TikTok, with Instagram, with Facebook, YouTube, and because of the growth of just word of mouth and people just like, you know, once they get bit by the calisthenic bug and wanted to do it, and the same kind of going back to where I told you how I got into it is when I saw someone's videos, Hannibal's video, and I wanted to like do that too and put myself out there. I think that's the same thing that we have now. The reason for the growth is like because of social media gave everyone that platform where, you know, back then it wasn't as big. It was kind of like in the infant stage of social media, but I was able to take advantage of it and really stand out. But because social media has grown so much and has been able to like really spotlight a lot of people, I think it's just inevitable, you know, because calisthenics is such an important, you know, piece of fitness that's, you know, it's very useful and it's very helpful in my opinion, it's the best. So when it's out there and people see it, it's just going to grow. And I think social media gives it that fuel to grow, and it's made it grow to the point where it is now. You know, people see it, when people start seeing social media, like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. And then this is where we are now. And then it's been our job, like my job and your job, to be able to like use it to like spread it and to spread the message, whether it's through, you know, Gore Nation and your products and the events that you put out, or whether it's me putting out my message. You know, we're constantly like creating this lifestyle to introduce to new people. There's new people that come in into the calisthenics world every single day, every month. And I think over the years, that's why it's become the way it is, you know, through social media, through people like you and me.
Yeah. So I would add, like, I definitely see this. I see there are these people who are accelerators for the sport. People can be in different areas, can be people who organize events. You know, most calisthenics events are not close to being profitable. It's like people who have a lot of passion behind, who do this in their free time to give something back to the sport. And this is, I think, a huge accelerator, at least here in Europe. You have meetups, you have trainings, you have small competitions, and a lot of things are happening. And all these things are only possible because someone takes responsibility, because doing an event, everyone who did it once knows how much work there is behind. Of course, you like the reach and the, let's say, viral videos and people react to calisthenics, whatever, these videos that get millions of views. I think it's important, yes, for people to know about the sport, but I think it's extremely important in these days to have people who give out quality content, like your workout programs, like tutorials, like coaching, because as you say, people would say, oh yes, I want to try, but they don't know how to start with calisthenics. They don't know where to start and what are the basic exercises, how do I program like my week, etc. And it's extremely important, in my opinion, to get this motivation from the people and give them a tool to become disciplined and have a structure, and not just go to the park motivated for a week, then you have elbow pain or I don't know, if don't see any gains, and you go home and get back and like say, oh, it's not worth it, I stick to the gym, I have my personal trainer there from the gym, it's fine. So I think, in my opinion, the quality is even more important these days than the quantity, because so many people put out viral content, but it doesn't, like, often it doesn't give a good spotlight on the sport, because it looks like people are cocky, like, oh, react to my one-arm hands and whatever. And on the other hand, there is not enough like knowledge and tutorial guidance for the people, which I think is the most important these days.
Yeah, and also credibility. Also the credibility, because, you know, with calisthenics, you know, you could take different directions, but what gives us credibility and the people that are actually doing it are people who are actually, like you said, is putting out value, you know, value content, and they have their proof, which is their body. Because at the end of the day, calisthenics is a workout. It's not just moves. It's not just a competition or a show about something, trying to do something. It's actually a workout. So, you know, so people, you know, like Chris, you know, Chris Heria, Dion, Max True, you know, people with really good physiques that have proof to show that, you know, this is the outcome and this is what you can achieve with calisthenics, is a motivator for people to want to get into it as well. Because it's one thing to see someone do something really crazy, but if they don't have a physique that kind of mimics that impressiveness, then it might be cool for some people, like a random person, like, oh, that was pretty cool. Like, okay, let's move on to the next thing. But if you have a physique or you have something to show for it, and it's actually, they see you post workouts also, and it's like you're giving some type of value, a tutorial, a tip here and there, that's when people like really notice and take you seriously. And that's what, I mean, I've seen over the years that people that are successful and the people that really do motivate and inspire, you know, people like Chris and Dion, Max True, people that have the physiques that show the tips, show that they work out. That's what really gets people to get into the sport, you know, because when you have the value and you have that type of mentality of showing that type of content, that's what makes a calisthenics really grow.
Yeah, it's sad because I wish it wouldn't be like this, because what if you just have a bad physique, you know? Like, of course you can do the best with your genetics that you can, but it shouldn't limit anyone like who is listening just because you don't have the best genetics to start. But it's true, like I have to admit myself, when I started with calisthenics, it was also that I thought, oh, the physiques look so great, you know, I want to achieve this as well. And it's weird because usually it's the whole fitness gym thing. I think it's a discussion you can discuss about it, where you can achieve the easiest, like the great physique. But yeah, calisthenics lives from the physiques. If you like it or not, it's this athletic, functional physique, not too bulky, shredded. Yeah, but looks natural. You know, looks just athletic and yeah.
Yeah, and that's for the most part, I mean, you know, for that's kind of like the audience, the kind of people that we attract is, you know, we attract normal people that are not too big, you know, not too much muscular, but like you and myself, right? I could wear a baggy shirt, something that's covered me really well. And some people would tell me like, oh, like what happened? Like you stopped working out, you know, where did all your muscles go? And it's like, no, it's there. It doesn't hurt my feelings if people say that, because like I know what I have underneath my shirt. But that, I think that's what connects a lot of people that do calisthenics, is that we're not interested in being like the biggest, super biggest person. We just want to be able to like function really well with our bodies and really, you know, chisel and build our physiques in a way where it's just functional to what we do, which is calisthenics. And you know, even someone that's like doesn't weigh as much, but if you really train calisthenics and you eat right, you eat the right foods, you stay away from sugar and alcohol, and you get enough protein and sleep and water and all that, you don't have to be super big, but you could really, you know, really get really shredded and build some muscle where like you could be very light and you could look bigger because your muscles are really developed. So that's what I mean by physique. You don't have to be super big, but if you just really tighten up your package where you know, you're shredded and or you look good, normal people are going to see that, because they're going to see that as like, oh, I could look like that. I want to look like that. I don't want to be like this big guy over here. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, for the most part, most people in calisthenics, they like being within a certain weight range. And it's different from some people. Some people are okay with 140. Some people are naturally like closer to 200, 180. You know, so it really depends on the person, and everyone knows what that is. So for the most part, it's just creating the best you, you know, the best you. And that's what it comes down to with calisthenics. You create your best version. And it's funny because when I started working out, I really was thinking about my physique. I really wanted to be big, build muscle, the guys in the magazine, right? This was before calisthenics. Like, oh, what do I need to do to build more muscle to look like this guy, to look like that guy? And then when I started doing calisthenics, I forgot all about that. I even forgot about wanting to get big or getting a six pack or get muscle. I was just focused on calisthenics. And the next thing you know, within a few months, like I got the physique, you know, I was shredded, my six pack and everything. And it was just because I was training calisthenics. So if you just forget about that and you just train, you know, really hard in calisthenics, and you know, you try to eat right and take care of your body just starts shaping itself. You know, you train for strength, you know, and the size and the muscle will follow.
True. What was your physique like before? Have you been more a skinny person, or have you been overweight at one point?
So when I started working out, like in my late 20s, was because I was becoming like, I was thin, but I was kind of like skinny fat. So I wasn't overweight, but I really didn't have any muscle. You know, I had a little belly, no muscle tone at all. So I wasn't overweight. I mean, you could see me in regular clothes and I didn't look out of shape, but you know, under my clothes, I was just totally out of shape, you know, little belly, some flabby, no muscles. You know, I look normal to normal people, and to me, I just couldn't do it. I was in my mid to late 20s, and in my mind, I was thinking too, it was like, is this all I'm going to be? It's like, what happened to the times when I wanted to be you know, like an athlete, you know, because when you grow up, you want to be like an athlete, you want to be something special, right? And as I was getting like in my late 20s, I thought about that. And I was like, wow, like, I guess I'm not. I guess I'm like, the time's gonna pass, is gonna pass me by, and like my window is closing. And like, I guess I didn't do it. And in my mind, I was like, no, I can't let that happen. I have to. And that's when I just like, oh, like, because of the fear of like looking back and wondering what if, that fear of just like, oh, I wish I was able to do something. That fear kind of like, no, like I have to do something. I have to. And that's when I started working out. That's when I was like, I have to do something. And then like a few years after that, that's when I discovered the calisthenics. And that's when everything just took off from there. Yeah. In my mind, when I started doing calisthenics, when I touched, I don't know, when I started doing pull-ups for some reason, like I felt that I was gonna be really good at it. Not just good. I felt like I was gonna be like so good that people are gonna notice me. Because I felt some type of strength in it. And because that feeling that I had is like, it felt really good. And I feel like, wow, I feel like I'm invincible. I feel like I could do so much and nothing's gonna stop me. It's only I'm gonna stop myself. And that feeling that I had at the beginning of calisthenics, that's what kind of like pushed me to the point to where it got me with the moves that I eventually started learning and put out in video. It's just like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna show the world what I could do. And that was my mentality, you know, going into it. And it was hard, but you have to have that mentality. You have to have that. You wanna be the best, and you wanna be the best version of you, because the best version of everyone is good enough. Because most people don't put that effort. Most people will not tap into that. But those people, those few people that do tap into it, become that 1 to 5% that are at the top, because they're willing to put it all out there that some people won't.
So you didn't have like a huge sport background back in the days, doing, I don't know, playing any sport professionally before?
Yeah, no, I mean, the only experience I had in sports was in high school. I was in track and field, so I ran, I did sprinting, and I did the pole vault. The pole vault is like something I look back and like, I think initially that's probably where it started, you know, with that pole. But you know, when I graduated from high school, years went by, and I just stopped working out. But it was just during my high school days when I was really active in running, and track and field, and then like a good like almost 10 years went by that I didn't do anything after that.
The moment when you did the pull-ups and you felt, oh, that's my thing. Have you ever analyzed in the years maybe how your body compositions are maybe good for pull or maybe even push? Have you analyzed it with your how your lat attaches to your body or your forearm lengths? If they benefit you, do you think you have a good genetics?
It's funny because I was thinking about that. I was thinking like, well, definitely my pull is my strongest. My pull is stronger than my push. And I was thinking about that too, because like I surprise myself sometimes when I want to do something, you know, and I just randomly just like need to film something, and I don't really warm up. I haven't been training this move at all, and all of a sudden I just go and I do it. You know, it could be months, it could be a long time, and I just do it, and then not just do it, but it's just real easy. And I think about that too, is like, I wonder if it's just my body's anatomy, as far as like how my hand size, my arm width, and my back, how my back's connected to my core. Like, I feel like maybe just my body in general was kind of built for it. I mean, I don't know, but the thought did come across. You know, maybe just something about like the way I'm structured, but I'm not really good with all that, so I'm not too sure. But I feel like it might have, I'm sure it has something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, because I think this is really interesting. We once did a study with a YouTuber called Frings Movement, who analyzed the different body compositions for really strong pull athletes and really strong push athletes, mostly in statics. So we had people who did 20 plus seconds full planche or 35 seconds plus front lever, and he analyzed their body compositions. Unfortunately, the study is not finished yet, so I don't know the results yet. But yeah, I hope one day that we finally know how it goes. But yeah, I think it's interesting to analyze this. I mean, as I said, it shouldn't be something that holds you back, so you shouldn't wait to decide for your training goals or whatever just because you think your genetics are not made for it. You should always do the best, as you said, with what you can. But it's still interesting, you know, like what your body gives you. Maybe you don't know about something that you have genetically the best chance to become really elite level in. So maybe for you, it's cool.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It's a shame because you're right. Like you do need to do both, because I've seen people that they're really strong with one and they totally neglect the other. And it's just so they could focus on the strengths. But it's a shame because if I would have done that, like I would have never been where I got today. As far as like, it wouldn't have been enough. It wouldn't have been enough. You have to, even though you're stronger than in one than the other, you have to be complete and you have to do both, because in the end, it just balances you out. And it just helps you, and it's just better. It's more aesthetically. It's definitely not attractive when you see someone and you meet someone that's a fellow calisthenics trainer and you see them do just pull, or they see this just push, and like you're working out with them, and it's like, oh, let's do some typewriters or some levers, and they can't do that, and it's like, oh man, like, and they're super like advanced and athletic with their pushes, but when they get on the bar and it's like they don't have any strength there, it's like it's disappointing to see that. But I mean, I can't tell that person needs to want to do it, you know.
Sure, but also health-wise, you know, like I think you say that a shoulder has to be trained in every direction, you know, like you have to be strong and pulling movements for a healthy shoulder, pushing above, pushing in front, pushing below. Like it's important to be balanced overall.
Yeah, for sure. It'll definitely prevent injuries if you're more balanced out.
True. Yeah, I'm super interested in how does your workout look like today? How do you train these days?
These days, well, my schedule is I have a full back dedicated day on Mondays. Tuesdays, I have a chest dedicated day. Wednesday, I do a leg dedicated day. The leg days, for the most part, I include weight training. So I use some kettlebells, some dumbbells. I add resistance there. I might use some machines from here at home. Those are the days where I implement the most weight. Thursdays, I focus more on some shoulder work, more calisthenics work and ab work. Friday is an easy day for me. I just focus on arms. So I focus on arm exercises, you know, some, you know, anything I could do with body weight, you know, some close grip chin-ups, diamond push-ups. I try to find a body weight exercise for everything during the week. And I do a lot of it. And not only that, I just increase the difficulty of the exercise. And on Saturdays, it's a free day for me. So most days I'll do legs again. And I also do a lot of bodyweight circuits. So like more like nonstop, you know, burpees, a lot of the basics. So I'll do a lot of dips. I'll do a lot of push-ups. I'll do a lot of pull-ups. I'll do burpees. I'll do squats. So I'll do a lot of like the basics, but in high numbers. I try to do like put my clock in and do a lot of my high numbers on that day. Sundays I rest, I don't do anything. And going back to those days, you know, I just, for example, back, there's a lot of pull-ups involved, you know, a couple hundred, and rows. a few muscle ups. I keep it pretty basic, you know, do some front levers. For chest, again, a couple hundred push-ups, a lot of dips. For shoulders, you know, a lot of pike push-ups, handstand holds, handstand push-ups. And for arms, you know, some pull-ups, some dips. A lot of exercise you probably don't even see me do, but I need to do more of, because I do show them on my, like, on my feeds, like here and there, but more structured wise, I haven't really put it out there. Maybe I will, like a full day of like an arm day and a full day, like a chest day. It's just a lot of reps, because I like to do a lot of reps. You know, maybe I'll do a YouTube video of a separate day, right? Maybe like a back day on this thing here. And then now that we talk about that, I'll probably just do that, you know, next couple of videos, maybe just what a back day looks using the equipment here, what's a leg day looks, what's a shoulder day, what's an arm day, you know. But definitely, you know, calisthenics almost 100%, for the exception of my leg day where I introduce some weight. But you know, actually, this, speaking of leg day, this thing is really cool with those J hooks, where you could just put on the bar and you could do your squats there. You know, a lot of stuff there. You could do some cab raises back there on that bar in the bottom, where you could sit, where you could put your, it's a, that bar down there and the pull-up bar is actually really good. Like, I like it for so many things. You could do push-ups, you could do dips, backwards dips. I mean, there's just so many things you could do on it. I'll do a video. I mean, I did a video on it soon, the other day. I'm going to finish it this week and I'll show it to you. Maybe by the end of this week, I'll talk about it. I talk about all of them, and I mentioned it there. It's really cool.
That's cool. That's a good teaser for the people already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So when you say you do a lot of reps, how do you train? Do you do sets until failure? Do you do more EMOM and low intensity? How do you do it?
Yeah, I never really do sets until failure. I will, but it's not a part of a regular routine. You know, I'll do it on a day where, like, I just want to max out just to see where I'm at. But I never do sets until failure, because I want to keep my, I'm training for endurance. I want to do a lot of reps. So, you know, I break it down to sets, whether it's sets of 50, 40, 25. For the most part, for pull-ups, it's anywhere between 10 to 20 reps per set, depending on how I feel or depending on how many reps I'm going to do. And I also do like pyramids. You know, I'll do sets of 50. I mean, I'll do a set of 50, then 40, 30, 20, 10, and then I'll go back up. And then I superset a lot too. So sometimes I'll do pull-ups and then I'll do straight and go straight into push-ups. I'll do push and pull. I like doing a lot of push and pull, where, you know, you could keep going. It's a different muscle, so you're able to do that. So a lot of push and pull sets, and a lot of sets where, like, it's not failure, but, you know, it's almost near failure. That way I could recover and just keep doing the sets. And I think that's a way for me to, that's been a way for me to really increase my reps, is doing that. Is doing near failure, because when you do maybe, you know, 5 reps near failure, it leaves enough in the tank for you not only to recover, but to be able to push yourself, to be able to keep pushing yourself, you know. And now to the point where, like, it's nonstop, you know. And now I could keep going. I just run out of time. I just can't keep going. You know, I could do a couple hundred, near 1,000, but and keep going, but I just don't have time anymore to keep going. But it's enough for me, you know, it's enough for me. But yeah, that's how I do it.
And otherwise you wouldn't be able to put in 6 workouts per week if you would go until failure, and like,
you won't be able to recover. True. Yeah. You won't be able to recover and have good workouts. So you have to leave some for the next, and for your body to recover.
because this is one of the biggest misconceptions, I think, in calisthenics and in endurance, maybe even that you go until failure to give it your all to maximize like progress. It's not like this, you know, like keeping reps in reserve is so important so you can recover and do more sets. And in the end, if you calculate all the reps that you put together, you can do way more volume in the whole workout than if you would go until failure for the first sets.
Yeah. Yeah. And failure is failure. I mean, failure is a lot for different people because true failure, like really true failure, is you're really giving it 100%. Some people's failure is when they feel like giving up, and that might not be their failure. So that's why I mean, like, my failure is really extreme, where like it'll take too much away from my workout, where I can't do that. You know, some people, they haven't pushed their bodies enough to know what true failure is. So that's why I feel like people, at least in the beginning, that's why beginners, it's in the begin, as a beginner, you should know what true failure is, and you should push yourself to true failure. That way, you know, at least what that is. Once you gauge what true failure is, then from there, you know where you could cut back. That way you have some reps in your reserve.
That's true. Yeah. But other than that, it's like more an ego thing, you know, like sometimes I see myself in the trap, you know, like you see your friends doing these reps and you think, oh, I will do more. But yeah, it's if you want long-term progress, I think it's really important to put the ego aside. We also had a podcast with Andrew Strong and Daniel Christoph about it, who also said they both got injured because they didn't handle their egos, you know. And ego, I think, is a big, big enemy in our sport and in all of life, I think, in many situations.
Yeah, I think that's happened, you know, to all of us in calisthenics. Like every injury that I've had too was because of ego. Every single, I mean, I haven't had that many, but I've had enough where like they were really bad, and it was always because of ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but how has your focus shifted throughout the years? Has it always been on endurance? Has it been like, do you still aim for PRs? Do you aim to maintain the form, maintain the reps? What is your focus right now?
Recently, it's been endurance and strength. So strength, endurance. So, you know, because some basic calisthenics exercises have become really easy, it's been a focus for me to have endurance. So what I mean by that is when I do my sets, I don't rest as much. I want to be able to do my set and not wait too long. I want to keep going. So I want to be able to do my sets and just rest just enough so I could go again. So that's been my focus lately, is just to become like a machine and be able to like be ready, go. I went to like a year and a half ago, I did this, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Navy SEALs. Mm-hmm. It's a military branch over here in the US, and they invited me to do their boot camp. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And this was just a year and a half ago. I'm already really strong and the stuff that we do and push-ups and stuff like that. So I went in there thinking like, man, like these guys don't have anything. I mean, they have no idea who I am and what I'm capable of, right? but man, these Navy SEALs, like they're just at a different level, but in a way where like, they don't really care who you are and what you're capable of. They see what you can do and they push you even more. So I'm not gonna lie to you, like they were pushing me and they were telling me to do push-ups, I did more push-ups than I ever thought I ever could. When I thought like that was it, that I didn't have any more, they kept pushing me and I kept doing more. And everyone was already on their knees, like, cause they kept doing them, like they dropped to the knees to finish off the reps. But if I tried to put my knees on the ground, they wouldn't let me. They would spray the hose. They had a water hose and they would spray the water hose in my face. It's like, no, bring your knees back up. They let everyone put their knees down, but they didn't let me put my knees down because they knew that I could do more. Even just up until recently, they knew I could do more. And it was a lot. It was like, it was in the thousands. And I don't know how I did it, but it was a lot. It was not only that, but it was just, you know, when you stay in a plank position, and even if you don't do a push-up, just being in a plank position for like a minute, and they're like, okay, now you can start. And like, oh. So they did a lot of that. And I was able to do a lot of push-ups like that. So because of that, I started doing more stuff like that, more strength endurance. We're like, okay, it's good to do push-ups, but how about you start doing push-ups when you're already tired, when you're already just in the plank position? So I do a lot of that when you're training. I just hold a plank position and I'm just there for like a minute. And then my count doesn't start till after a minute of me just doing that. And then you'd be surprised of how many push-ups you could do when when you're already in the plank position for like a long time like that. Or when you're like doing a push-up and you're just holding it down here, you know, like the Brinksality Up challenge when you're down here sometimes and you're just like, okay. So I've been doing a lot of strength endurance with not just the push-ups, but like for dips, for pull-ups. So my focus has been a lot on the strength endurance in that aspect.
Have you ever thought about competing in endurance?
Yeah, I mean that'd be pretty fun. I haven't come across anything like that here. I mean, most sometimes I'll come across certain things that are kind of local, but it's I think freestyle. I think there's actually one around here. I think it's fairly new that came last year. I think it's called a UFL. I think they do stuff like that. Just gotta look into it. But yeah, that'd be cool.
Nice. Yeah. So, because for me, it's interesting to understand your priorities because, like being someone who does this professionally, and professionally means for me that you live from it and you have to take like really smart decisions, because it's your life, like your daily life depends on it. You cannot just, you have to concentrate on something. You can either be the best content creator, you can be the best competitive athletes, but I think it's really hard to be both at the same time, and focus, as in everything in life, is everything. So your focus, I guess, has to be more also on the content creation and on the business, on the creator side, no?
Yeah. And yeah, and just going back to that that type of training that I'm focusing on, definitely recommend. I feel for me this is the most functional type of training because I mean the military uses it for a reason, right? Is to be able to withstand so much endurance because you never know in real life scenarios. This is something that you could use, you know, that you sometimes life situations gonna require you to engage your body in certain situations like this. And I feel like it's very useful and it could save your life one day, you being in positions like this where you need to really endure, your muscles really need to like hold and endure and stuff like that. And over the years, I've made it a strength for it. Even before this, it's just something that the strength endurance is one of, I guess, it's not a secret. But if I could say for people who are wanting to get a calisthenics and want to get really strong, that's something that I for sure I recommend you do because you think about having strength endurance. For example, just hold the pull up at the top, right? Just holding it up there. If you get really good at holding, whether at a dead hang, different positions, if you get really comfortable, imagine you're gonna be able just to like move around, make things really easy. You can make your movements really easy. So a good way to really master and make yourself look and master a move is just do the basics and master the basics where you could just hold it for long periods of time. You know, and if you include that part of your training, you know, that translates into the video. You know, you could that's why people see me on a pull-up bar sometimes and like, wow, like he looks so comfortable up there. It's because like I have that strength endurance to stay up there. I'm used to being up there for a long time, for a few minutes sometimes. And me being up there for a few seconds, it's like nothing. I'm like a monkey up there, right? You know, I'm just so if you get really comfortable just holding these positions, whether it's at the top of the position, where it's at the bottom of the push-up, where whatever it is on a dip or anything, you know, I think that's a key aspect in calisthenic training that people should focus more on.
That's true. Like mastering something, there's the quote from Bruce Lee, the one you don't get good in fighting, let's say, if you master 1,000 kicks and practice them once, but mastering one kick but practice it 1,000 times. And when we do shootings with athletes, it's always for me the most impressive thing when we shoot with a professional athlete who holds everyone on handstand, every balance skill, every static skill, and it's for them it's so effortless. And usually these are the athletes who are doing like really they are doing extreme advanced progressions. But when we do a regular full planche, something that is insane already for a normal athlete, they hold it so effortlessly. So yeah, like really master the basics, build like really fundamental strength. So your performance just becomes regular, as you can hang up there in your typewriter for probably a minute. So yeah. How long is usual training for you? How long is one session?
About an hour and a half.
Okay, so
An
you're
hour
quite
and a half.
efficient with that.
Yeah, an hour and a half. Yeah, it used to be longer, like hours and hours, like I mentioned earlier, but I mean, just with life and the way things are, I just really don't have that much time for it. Now it's just that, I mean, the beauty of it now is I could just have everything at home. I have this stuff here now, so I just do everything here at home and save some time.
That's cool. How do these 1.5 hours look like? Do you have 20 minutes of warm up? How do you structure the, how does it
Yeah,
work?
well, that's not counting warm-ups and all that. So that's 1.5 hour of training. So, like me walking or running on a treadmill or like doing stretching, things like that. That's not. I don't really count that. So if you count that, it's probably like closer to 2 hours. Yeah.
Okay, so you run, go to the treadmill, you run, then you warm up your joints a little bit, and then you start into your workout.
Yeah, I'll do like the treadmill or the rower or some type of cardio machine, do some mobility exercises, and then I'll jump into the workout. Yeah.
Okay, and are your team stretching before the workout or after the workout?
I don't really do any stretching before the workout. I just do more mobility exercise before and then some stretching afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Do you have an estimate of your PRs in like because I know people will ask that in the comments. What are your PRs if we take the four classic exercise, muscle ups, pull ups, dips and push ups, let's say.
Okay, we started with the muscle ups. Say right now probably be like 15. Push-ups nonstop. Maybe like one close to 120. Pull-ups nonstop. I think it was like 43. 43 not too long ago. Dips. I haven't had a dip test in a while, but my PR like 85, but that's not recent. I haven't done a recent one for that.
Do you think it's improved or decreased?
To be honest, it might have decreased a little bit, but not by that much. To be honest, I'm thinking with my strength and trying to tighten. Probably like 70 something, I'm thinking. Probably like 70 something. I'm really curious now. I'm gonna try it out tomorrow. I'll try it tomorrow on my shoulder day.
Nice. You have a long list of to-dos after our
Yeah.
podcast,
Yes. Speaking of challenges, I'll probably do something like that with this rig. I wanted a rig like this, pull-up station like this, because I wanted to do challenges. I wanted a straight bar, not just a straight bar, but a sturdy straight bar. So I want to do challenges on this where it's like push-ups, pull-ups, dips, circuits, where like it's like time-based, things like that, and put it out there. And it's really fun. It's really exciting for me to do this, because I've been wanting to do this for a long time, like do these challenges and put it out there. And now I have a machine to do it for. So I'll make sure to do these challenges and tag you guys. And maybe your community could hop on these challenges as well.
That's true. I think the listeners will definitely be up for some challenge with you. That's cool.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
Nice. Do you feel like when was your peak? Are you right now on your strength peak, or when was it? Because I can imagine it's like, as you said, like life happens, but also you're not one of the athletes that I'm talking to that are like 20, 22. You're like already so long in the game. So what do you think about the strength increase, decrease with age?
I think my peak as far as reps is now. My peak as far as reps, I think over time, with something as simple as reps, if you want to keep the basics like the push-ups, pull-ups, dips, and all that, you could just keep getting stronger. And I'm still even up till this day, like I still learn that, you could keep getting stronger. So my peak for that for reps is now. As far as skill, it's a little different as strength because, as with any skill, it needs practice. And if you don't practice a certain skill, you could be really good at it, but if you don't put enough practice to a specific skill, you don't lose it entirely, but it's not sharp. And it's not to say that you lost it, it's just it's not sharp. You need to train it again. So over the years, I've just maybe not paid attention to the certain skill and maybe paid attention to more this skill. So with the skill, it's kind of off and on with certain things. Like right now, I would say my front lever, it's practice where like my peak for front lever is probably now because that's another one that's not too hard, right? My peak for muscle up is now also because it's nothing too hard. My peak, even my peak for one arm pull-ups, all the things that you've seen me like really strong with before, they've just either stayed the same or gotten stronger. But the things that require a little bit more skill that needs more of my attention, my peak, like for example, like the Tiger Band push-ups and needs more skill and training, my peak that was probably like 2015, 2016. It's not entirely gone, but it's one of those where like it just requires constant attention to look at it. So I mean, if I train for it again for a few months, I'll have it again. It's just it's not sharp. It's not sharp where I could just make it look real easy. So for the most part, for the exception, I would say for the exception of the Tiger Band push-ups, I think my peak was would probably be now as far as like strength-wise. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
okay. So, like, when we have the colleagues, some are turning 30, 30 plus now, and they are saying, "Oh, like 30." We do jokes, these memes when you turn 30. Like you need help suddenly, you get back pain, whatever. You don't believe in that. You say it's still possible to progress easy, like
Oh,
not easy,
yeah.
but you can still progress when you're older.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Because when I got in calisthenics, I was close to 30, right? I was close to 30, and that wasn't very my beginning stage. And as I started getting older, I started thinking, man, when I turn 40, like that's gonna be it for me. In my mind, I was like, is it? Because I feel like, I think, am I gonna be too old? But look at me now. I'm 46 now.
Wow.
I'm 46 now, and I look back and I was thinking before I turned 40 is like, wow, like what am I gonna do when I'm 40? And now I look back and I'm like, wow, like age is really, I'm not gonna lie to you, it did get harder. It did get harder, but it doesn't stop you. You just gotta find ways. You gotta just change things up. Recovery, you just need to pay attention to certain things. You gotta listen to your body. But you can get stronger. It's just you have to change things. That's all it is you just have to adapt. You have to adapt as you get older. And you have to take care of yourself because you have to let go of things that are stop or that are hurting you. Like back then, I was maybe eating things I shouldn't be eating. And as you get older, it starts affecting you more. Like the junk food, the drinking, the sugar, like all that stuff. At some point, you can't keep drinking that, or you can't keep eating it, because your body at some point is going to tell you like, no, you know what? No, that's it. No more. Your body's not going to, I'm not going to let your body do this anymore if you give me this food. So you have to stop, and you got to take care of your body more as far as like what you eat, what you put into it. So that, in a way, I do see that it gets harder. Is like you have to really pay attention to what you eat, because it does really affect you more as you get older, what you eat, what you, you know, your rest, what you, you know, drinking more water, getting enough sleep. That really makes a big difference and plays a big part. But as far as like the age wise, like it's, you could totally still get strong and still do it. Like, look at me, I'm still 46 and I'm stronger now and doing a lot of the things that I was back then. And I never even thought it was possible. Like, I don't even see, like, in the near future, you know, God willing, I don't get injured, I don't even see anything of me slowing me down, because like, how am I going to slow down? I'm still getting stronger, you know. And it's just, it all comes down to like taking care of yourself. If you take care of yourself and, you know, drink water, get enough rest, eat right, you know, your body is just, it's able.
So talking about all these measurements, how you keep in, like, stay in form, stay in shape, and react to the development of your body today, tell us more about your nutrition. How do you eat over the week?
I've been doing a lot of intermittent fasting. So I believe it's really helped me as far as like to be more focused and be able to function better. There's a lot I'm not an expert, but I've been doing it for a few years now. I would say since 2021, maybe, or 2020, where I'll have my last meal like 7, 8 p.m. previous night, and I won't eat till like 1 to 2 p.m. the next day. And that's even, you know, working out and everything, and even working and things like that. Maybe have some coffee if that. It's allowed me to have better workouts, more energy. I feel like I could burn more fat. I just feel more in the zone. And right around that time, you know, I have my first meal. It's usually pretty big. I mean, not super huge, but I'm really big into smoothies. You know, I like to have a lot of smoothies where I have some protein in there, different fruits. I like papaya and I like berries and some oats, sometimes some peanut butter. But I like to be creative. You know, as you know, there's so many possibilities with smoothies. And then from there, I also have a meal. I have a decent meal, and I'll have I got to make sure I have enough protein. So, you know, because I only have that meal there, and I'll have another one like later. So in that sense, just two meals. So those two meals, I need to make sure I do have, you know, enough protein to sustain me, and also the right amount of calories, you know, for it to, you know, replenish me. So I'll have a meal like around 7 to 8 p.m. I might have a snack here and there in between that, maybe some fruit, maybe some granola bars. For the most part, I try to keep it protein dense on both meals. And during the weekend, I don't fast. So I like to treat myself, and I like to refeed. So I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. And I cheat one of those days. So I'll have my cheat meal, which is either like some burgers or maybe a pizza, some donuts, you know, things like that. Those are the things that I like to eat for cheats. And I was gonna say, for people wanting to get shredded and get into shape, the cheat thing is like, I always tell people, you can't cheat. If you're happy with your physique, then that's fine, cheat. But if you're trying to get abs and you don't have abs, or you're trying to lose weight, you can't cheat. You're not there yet. I mean, I remember when I started training and trying to get really shape, there's no cheating. You know, the cheats are only for people who already have their physique and they're using it as a tool to, you know, there's different levels where, like, you know, it helps you. But if you're trying to get there and you're not where you want to be at, then you shouldn't. But if it helps, it helps your sanity, or like it helps you to stay on track to maybe to help you get over, then okay, then do that. But I definitely, for the most part, don't recommend people to cheat unless they truly they need that. You know, they need that to help them to persevere and just to keep on it. Yeah.
Do you know your calorie intake? Do you have something that you aim for, or you don't count
me,
calories?
Yeah, me personally, I'm around between 2,000 and 2,500.
Okay.
Between 2 and 2,500, depending on where I want to be, as far as like how I want to feel and how I kind of want to look, you know. Sometimes, you know, depending, because you know, because I do a lot of filming. Sometimes I'm filming more than other times, and sometimes I want to keep my calories low. That way I'm extra shredded, and sometimes I don't need to be, you know. So depending on, so that's why I'm between 2,000 and 2,500.
Okay. Do you have any rule for you that is the most important thing? Do you aim for a certain protein intake? Do you aim for a certain feeling of your body? Do you only aim for the hours? Do you aim for the amount of meals? What is the most important thing for you?
The most important thing for me that I aim for is to make sure I have enough protein, but also keeping in mind to stay away from sugar. The combination of those two. Mm-hmm. So minimizing, you know, all the bad carbs and the sugar, and making sure I have a higher protein diet, higher protein meal. Those are the main things when I'm building my meals and I'm making and I'm eating. Even everything is, I want to make sure, like, I always look at the labels or when I'm cooking or whatever, like what I put in is it low in sugar and does it have enough protein? And everything else is just like, I kind of just, it goes from there, you know?
That's cool. Do you have supplements that are essential for you?
The supplements, I take my protein because, you know, to make sure I have enough protein. I am sponsored through a high performance nutrition brand, and they specialize in different types of products. One of them being a NAD3, a NAD supplement. It's a kind of like an anti-aging, anti-inflammatory supplement. Helps you keep looking young. It's one of my favorites. It makes me feel younger. It's really good with cell regeneration. I have good sleep with it. And another one I do take, it's a PA7. It's actually my secret weapon that I've just been using it because it gives me even more strength. And that's probably one of the reasons why when I say like what my peak is I think my peak is now, because I feel like when I started taking that supplement, it kind of like, it made me feel like I used to. As far as strength wise, I caught up to where I was and I went beyond it. And I don't know how it does it, but that supplement, it kind of acts like creatine. I also take creatine, where like it gives you that strength, endurance, like that extra boost, but in a different way. So both of those combined, it's just like, I feel like, you know, I could just keep going. When I mentioned earlier, like my workouts just keep going, but I don't have time. So those are the supplements I take. I take the creatine, the PA7, the NAD3, and the protein.
Nice. So talking about general biohacking, I don't know, life optimization, are there any things that you would advise, like that you would say, hey, yes, this is super important for me. Maybe sleep quality is really important for you. Maybe water quality. What are things that you say it's really important for people who want to live a healthy life?
I think for the most part, I think structure is the most important thing. And I think doing some research really helps. and making sure that you're doing the right things. And for me, the most important things in my life, like daily routines, is making sure I get enough sleep. So getting enough sleep for me is 7 hours is enough for me. But I'd say 7 to 8 hours, and making sure you drink enough water and a good source of water. I really believe in alkaline water. I'm a strong believer in that, and I've been drinking alkaline water for like 5 years now, and I feel like that's also helped me. Making sure the water that you drink makes a big difference in how you feel and how your body regenerates as well. Making sure that you have a good schedule as far as eating schedule. I feel like that's helped me a lot as far as like creating a schedule where like you eat at a certain time, and fasting. I feel like fasting has been a big change, big game changer for me, because it's allowed me to really, I like to start my day early. So if you can start your day early and get to work right away, that window from the moment you wake up to your first meal could be a big window. And imagine that window being a big window where like you're fasted and you're able to really hyper focus and really able to do creative work and be able to work out and do all that in a fasted state. I feel that's been able to really enhance my thinking and my output, to be able to wake up real early in a fasted state and do a lot of creative work, and be able to work out. And by the time I had my first meal, the majority and the bulk of the things that I needed to do, and the very important things that I needed to do, gets done during that window. So that's one of the things that I look forward to, is like my whole day, the moment I wake up from like 5 or 5:30 all the way to like 1 or 2 is very critical. So I make sure that all of the important things I need to do, I do during that window, and it's in a fastest state. What's in the fastest state, I'm able to think clearer, and I'm able to hyper focus. I'm able to have my really good workout. I'm able to really get back to all the things I needed to do and think, or at least put things in place. So when I have my meal, I get back to work, everything is just on cruise control, and just do everything I need to do. But that window from like 5 to 1 or 2 p.m. is very important, and it all starts with making sure you get a good 7 hour quality sleep, you're properly hydrated, and you're fasted. And when you break your fast, you break it with high quality protein and little to no sugar. It keeps me in a constant fat burning phase for me too, because I'm out, who doesn't want to be shredded, right? Who doesn't want to be in tip top shape to be able to like burn the most fat? Those are the one of the things that I just kind of like live by. It's just that window right there, that window. That's the routine that I live by.
Wow. So we as like to all the listeners, we have to be even more grateful because Frank is sharing exactly that window with us. Because it's really early for you, and we're exactly in this window. So yeah, that's really cool, and yeah, it makes sense to adjust your habits, your preferences to your lifestyle. Because for you, productivity in the morning is the most important. Maybe for a competitive athlete, the workout would be the most important thing. So he would put it in the morning before all the work, and that really depends on the whole structure and the focus of the person, the goals.
Yeah, the beginning of the day sets your day, so you can't be lazy. You can't be lazy. You gotta like wake up every morning with a thought of like, this is a sense of urgency that, God gave us a gift, gave us a breath of life. And, every day that goes by, we can't look back. Like the way I see it, every time I go to bed, I think about that. I think, did I do everything I could do today? Did I absolutely do everything I could do today to do everything I wanted to do, plus plan for anything, or did I miss anything? And that's my thought when I wake up also, is like, okay, I need to make sure I need to do everything I need to do today, because like things need to get done. There's no can't, it has to happen. Just like you said earlier, we had a little technical difficulty, like you can't accept that. I can't accept failure. I can't accept this glitch. I have to figure it out, whatever it takes. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, it all comes down to you have to deal best with what you get served. Sometimes you cannot influence what life throws at you, but you can always influence your reaction to it. So I think this is the most important in sports and life and everything.
Yes.
Nice. It has been a great conversation. Yeah, I'm truly happy that we made it and you made time in your special window for us for this talk. So yeah, in the end, I always have some quick fire questions. Yeah, what's your favorite calisthenics move?
Muscle-ups.
Muscle-ups, nice one. What's your favorite cheat meal? You already said it a little bit.
Pizza.
Pizza. Do you have a what kind of pizza? Is it I don't know, Hawaii? What else is good?
To be honest, it just doesn't really matter. I like any, as long as it's a pizza. Could have, yeah, mushrooms, olives, anything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have an athlete that inspires you right now?
You know what? An athlete that really inspires me, and I kind of been inspired by him for a while, even back then, and I've been able to meet him a few times, is Stipke. I've always, not just what he does and physically, but because I've met him and I know how he is, his personality, his work ethic and the way he thinks, you know, he inspires me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. What's one piece of advice for young athletes that you would share?
One piece of advice for young athletes is that no matter how hard it is, you know, just have a goal set in mind and, you know, always work hard and never give up, because life is going to just throw a bunch of things at you, and sometimes it's going to make it difficult for you to, like, you know, just to persevere and do things that life's just going to make it harder. All you just need to, like, keep working hard and not give up, because it's going to be hard, but, you know, there's definitely a reward if you keep working.
Nice. And the last question, how tall and heavy are you right now?
5'9". Currently I'm about probably 155.
Nice. We will put it in the European measurements as well, as I'm super bad in translating it, but we'll put it on the screen no matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, as I said, big thank you, Frank, for your time, for everything you did. As I said, like, you, maybe without you, GoreNation wouldn't even exist. At least it wouldn't exist in the way it does, because you really shaped my way of entering this sport. And I really want to say thank you for everything you did. I know you changed a lot of people's lives. And of course, it's about quality mostly. As you said, like, many people were deeply touched from you, maybe with mental problems or anything. But for me, I can just say, for me, it has been a huge inspiration. It was awesome to meet you in 2014. We should definitely repeat that. Maybe we can invite you to one of the next FIBOs to show the young generation again that you are there, that you're the one of the founding fathers, or like, that the sport is really deeply rooted to you and your beginnings. So yeah, just overall big thank you. I'm super happy that you took the time, and also for the collaboration. Now it's really on my bucket list. Yes, I can now tick this off. It's a huge pleasure.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's a really great a pleasure. And I thank you so much for the support. And I'm really grateful for you and for GoreNation, for everything that you do. It's a real honor to be part of something like what you have, you know, something that, you know, just gives back so much for the community and creates a platform for people to, to want to do calisthenics. You know, what a perfect way to do it. And I think you're doing it perfectly with the, you could tell, you know, when you sent me the equipment and I tested it out and I tried it out and I put it on and everything, I was like, wow, like this is like, it just feels so right. Like someone really gets it. Cause I've, you know me, I've been around for such a long time and I've tried so many different things, and your equipment is made with that thought in mind for the calisthenic athlete, and you know, to make sure that everything is safe and everything is made for you to like really get really good and learn well. And I'm really excited to, you know, create content with all this stuff and use it, keep using it, and I'm really excited to be part of the team.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm also looking forward. Thanks to everyone for listening to this. Yeah, I hope you could take inspiration, motivation, and thoughts for your training and for your life with you. Yeah, I will give the last words to you, Frank. Thanks again for your time and my time to say goodbye.
Thank you, Phil. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
That's it for the interview. Big thank you for watching this till the end. And now, big thank you again to Frank for the collaboration and for the time, for all the value that he shares. Also, if you didn't check it out yet, the new pull-up station is now being restocked these days. So definitely check out on the GoreNation page if it's back, if it's still on pre-orders, but it will be restocked very soon. Thanks for your support. Enjoy your next workouts.